wonder what my life would be like without it. I'm not talking about being an NFL player working in the league office. I just mean like what type of person would I be had I not played football?
Good evening, everyone. Mike Wobshaw with the Vikings Entertainment Network. You are listening to Skol Stories. What is Skol Stories? It's a new program that we are all very excited about, and you're going to hear it every Tuesday night at 6:30 p.m. during the regular season. At Skol Stories, we are going to go beyond the weekly grind of the NFL. We are going to transcend last week's outcome and next week's matchup. Our goal is to bring you, the listener, into a conversation with someone who has a profound place with the Vikings. Someone who their role with the team helped develop Vikings history. Someone whom Vikings history can help tell their stories. Yeah, we'll get into some X's and O's and what is hopefully a very exciting 2016 for the Minnesota Vikings. But this is about getting you to know better someone with a profound place in Vikings history and to help fans understand why so many gravitate toward this individual. Our debut guest of Skol Stories is none other than Matt Burke, one of Minnesota's own, a longtime Viking, a Super Bowl champion with the Baltimore Ravens, a man who in his last career game in the NFL reached the pinnacle of the NFL. He won a Super Bowl with the Baltimore Ravens, but he chose not to ride off into the sunset and to leave football behind. He chose to stick with the game that was such a big part of his life. Now he serves in a role with the NFL, so he's not playing and he's not coaching, but he still has an important place in the NFL. We talked about that and much more with Matt back in the summer before the season began. Here's our conversation with Matt Burke. So many places to begin with our friend Matt Burke, so we're going to begin with the here and now. You're at Winter Park. Doing what? I mean, what's going on for you here at Winter Park? This is a familiar place for you because you played here for so long, but you've gone lots of other places since then. So what are you doing back?
Well, I always look for excuses to try to come back here because, I do, man. It's nostalgic for me, and certainly a lot of things have changed, but a lot of things have stayed the same, especially a lot of the people. Football personnel tends to turn over. There's still a few of those left, but people like yourself and Bob Hagen and Tom West and Brad Mattson and list goes on and on, and that I think that speaks to the quality of the organization, but also why the Vikings organization is quality, because people stick around, and we all know good people are hard to find. But specifically, came out here to also talk with some of the guys and with Coach Zimmer and work on a side project I have, which is called the Hero Within, which is a program we're putting together for students and educators. And just trying to inspire kids and to kind of wake up the inner giant or the hero that's within all of them, and just try to get them on the path for achievement and success.
I think a lot of people hear that and they're like, "Hey, I thought Matt worked in the league office. That has nothing to do with NFL football." But I bet you'll tell us that it actually does.
Yeah, I think it does. I mean, I guess if you'd ask me what's the reason I work for the league, or why do I feel so strongly about football? Yeah, it's a great game and it's a great entertainment, and it goes further than that. It certainly brings people together like nothing else in our country. But ultimately, and I guess why I choose to pursue a career in football is because I think football, I think it changes lives. I think it impacts lives for the better. Anybody that's played, I think, understands that. There's just these values that are baked into the game. I think that they're uniquely American, and I think you can apply them to any walk of life. And I think anyone, especially young people, with so many young people in our country, they're searching. I mean, it's hard. It's hard growing up nowadays. You know, you're more likely than ever to be in a home without a father, or with a father might be physically present, but he might be disconnected. Public education certainly has its challenges. Peer groups with all the social media, you're receiving a lot more negative influence than you used to. So, I think it's hard being a kid, and so trying to take the game of football and take some of these things that are intrinsic to it and are good about it, and trying to take that to the masses. I think anybody can benefit from that.
What are some other projects that you're working on with your job? Because Vikings fans listening remember number 78, snapping to the quarterback, but are you 9-to-5 office guy and you stop at Starbucks or Caribou on your way in, and or what do you do every day?
Well, yeah, right now, actually was in New York for 2 years.
Okay.
You know, getting on the train, going into New York City, Manhattan, Park yeah. Avenue, wearing a suit and tie every day, and
looking good in it too, by the
yeah,
way.
Well,
nice
thank
and
you.
Slim.
Thank you. Yeah, the suits. And I know why guys wear suits, or why that's sort of the business wear for men, or when we get dressed up, because suits can hide a lot of physical shortcomings. There's no doubt. But now, with 8 children now, we decided that the New York lifestyle just didn't fit us. So I told the commissioner that I couldn't stay in New York, that I had to do what's best for my family, move to Florida. And, I wasn't surprised, but he totally understood that, got that. And I was very fortunate that he thought that there were still other areas that I could add value in. And, so they let me work from Florida. I do a lot of things, but, I really feel like I have the best of both worlds, because I get to work on things that are NFL, but I also get to work on a lot of things that are youth and high school football related. Yeah. And to me, again, there's plenty of people helping out the NFL, and it's great. I mean, it really is. But I think that there's more work to be done, or more good to be done, in the youth and high school levels. You just want to make sure that we're making the game as good and as safe and as strong as it can be on those levels, because most kids ain't going to make it to the NFL, and that's okay. Most people aren't going to make it to college, but I think it's good for our young people, and ultimately good for our country and our society if we have. If we have kids playing tackle football, but it has to be done the right way, and that's a lot about the coaches and who's out there coaching these kids.
It's really awesome to hear you talk about it that way. And you know who else talks about it that way is your former head coach in Baltimore, John Harbaugh. You know, he does a great job of speaking about the game in this way, because you're right, with certain issues floating around the league and sports in general. A lot of people criticize, and a lot of times the negative people are louder, and so you think that they're more prevalent than they really are. Positive people aren't always as loud, but there's more good than there is bad about the game of football and what it can bring to our society.
Now, Harbs has been a great natural ally in this mission. I call it evangelizing football.
Yeah.
And obviously I know Harbs pretty well, and so he was one of the first people I called when I took this on. You're right. There's so much good, and you could sit here and I could wear you out with facts about, how football stacks up and is safer than things like riding bikes or riding skateboards or girls soccer. It doesn't matter. Right. I mean, the facts really don't matter. To me, I want to make sure people know both sides of the coin and know, football saved a lot of lives. In fact, it's probably saved thousands or even millions of lives.
Yes.
I mean, for a lot of kids, especially in our urban areas, it's the safest place they can be is on a football field. And
yes.
A lot of us who are blessed to grow up with stability and grow up with some sort of financial wherewithal, we have to recognize that. I mean, safety is not an issue at those levels. We want to make sure that kids have the opportunities to be able to, they can be a part of something. They can be part of a football team, or they're going to go become part of a gang.
Yeah.
We wanted to choose football because, for obvious reasons. But I get to talk to high school football coaches, who I think they're just a special population. Coaching high school football is not a job. It's a higher calling. It's vocational, and those guys, they do it because they want to help boys become men. That's what they're doing. They're just using football as the tool, and those guys are so full of a wisdom and a common sense that I think we need more of in today's world. I was lucky because I didn't play football growing up. I actually had a bad experience as a youth football player, revisited in high school just kind of on a whim.
Yeah.
And I don't know what my life would be like without it. I'm not talking about being an NFL player working in the league office. I just mean what type of person would I be had I not played football? I feel like some of the lessons that I learned, specifically grit, delayed gratification, being accountable, caring about people. I mean, those things are going to serve me well as a husband, as a father, and then in whatever profession I choose to pursue.
Yeah. You said caring about people. a lot of players come through here and they come and they leave, and they're not forgotten, but there just are so many. I mean, you know, in the offseason, there are 90 players. Mm-hmm. But you're a guy that a lot of people, you mentioned a lot of names that are familiar to you when you come back here and you see them, Tom West and Bob Hagen and Brad Madsen. But a lot of those people would say, oh yeah, Matt Burke, you know, he's one of my favorites. So what is it about you that got you to be that way where you would make connections with Dennis Ryan and with the training staff and with the PR guys? Why was that important to you as a player?
You know, it just is. I mean, that's just who I am. You know, I was fortunate to be raised by two great hardworking parents, taught me about work ethic and basically if you can do something to help somebody else, you do it. And for me, it comes kind of natural. I also feel like if you're going to spend as much time as you do and work as hard as we do at this thing called football, we get paid a lot of money, but that doesn't matter. I mean, when you're working hard and you might not be getting the results that you're not getting the ones you want, none of that matters. What matters is who you're with on a day-to-day basis. I mean, that really sustained me as a player. And you know, guys like Dennis and Bob and Tom and Brad, and I mean, I can go down the list. Yeah. You know, seeing those guys every day, knowing they cared about me and I cared about them, and that we were in this together. I mean, that made me a better player because I didn't want to let those guys down, and they're as much a part of the organization as any player. But it made me a better person too, and just grateful to be around people like that. And like, I tell young people all the time, you know, one of the most important decisions you're going to make is who you choose to hang out with. I mean, you have time and you can spend time with essentially whoever you want. You know, who are you going to be drawn to? And I've always tried to, or I guess, I don't know if I've tried to do it, it's just happened, but try to be hang around people and drawn to people that make me better. And, there's a lot of those people in this building, and that's why it was such a great place to come to work for 11 years.
Outstanding stuff from Matt Burke so far. Evangelizing football, as he terms it, a great way to put it for Matt Burke, and a mission for him that is contrary to what the rhetoric is, to what the narrative is around pro football in many aspects. More great stuff to come, including some of his favorite Vikings memories after this short break. Welcome back. You're listening to Skol Stories, and I'm your host, Mike Wobshall. More from Matt Burke to come. First, though, a programming note. Vikings Country is back. Join host Mike Musman, along with Vikings Pro Bowl defensive end Everson Griffin, this Thursday at 5:30 p.m. at the Ground Round in Waconia. You could win great prizes, including tickets in the Miller Lite Lounge at U.S. Bank Stadium. Visit Vikings.com/Vikings Country for full schedule and locations. All right, let's get back to more from Matt. That's Matt Burke, former Vikings Super Bowl champion, now working with the NFL. We had a conversation with him earlier in the summer. Let's talk about some Vikings memories with Mr. Burke. We talked about John Harbaugh earlier in our conversation. You won a Super Bowl with Coach Harbaugh.
Yeah.
What was that like?
You know, it was unreal. I mean, you never know how this thing's going to go. I'd say I never planned on really leaving the Vikings. Mm-hmm. But, it wasn't exactly harmonious at the time I became a free agent. And I thought, well, I'll go out to Baltimore and just, kick the tires. And
yeah,
I didn't know anything about John Harbaugh, really. And maybe you see it now because he's been around a long time. But Harbaugh's a special kind of guy. And, when he told me just how he approaches his football team and what kind of team he wants to build, it just lined up exactly with my philosophy. And I thought, I don't know if I have one or two or three more years left, but I'm going to kind of go down swinging, and this is the guy that I want to play for. To win the Super Bowl, I don't know how you put it into words, but I guess the thing that was most surprising, that game came down to the very end. And the 49ers had fourth and goal on the 5. We were up 5 points. And this was it. And I remember sort of having that moment on the sidelines. It's like, all right, I've been doing this for fortunate enough to do this for 15 years. This one play, if they complete a pass, they win.
Yeah.
And if we stop them, we win. Should I feel any differently about myself depending on the outcome of this game, or this play?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, because everything else up to that point had been exactly the same except one play that I had no influence over. And so I'm telling myself, you know, really, you know, you have to just feel the same way regardless of the outcome. You know, you put the work in. We always talk about focus on the process, not the product, not the outcome. And I don't know, I was trying to stay sane. It's hard to watch.
Yeah.
Now, I'm certainly glad that the ball fell incomplete. But that's what I tell people, you know, is like, especially young people, you can't focus on the outcome because that wouldn't have defined me. That might have defined me in other people's eyes, but it didn't to me. The one thing about winning a Super Bowl, which I say, and I would say this, certainly it'd probably been better to win it with the Vikings because of growing up here and having more invested here and the fan base and knowing how hungry they are for it. But when the Vikings do win a Super Bowl, this is what I told Mark and Ziggy when they called me afterwards, was that you have this bond with the fans as a player. You appreciate the fans, but I think a little bit you take it for granted because you just go out there on Sundays, you know people are going to show up. When you win the Super Bowl and you're going around town or you have the parade, or it's almost like you do the bond with the fans. It becomes more intense. It's almost like we did it. Like I think that's as a player, I really felt a lot of gratitude. I'm just so thankful the fans were there. You think as a player and how you, but I think it is. It's as a fan, you don't have any control. And I'm a fan of other things too. And it's sometimes hard to watch your team struggling. You get so mad, you get so frustrated. You might have less invested, but it's hard. And so that was a really cool thing. And I told that to Mark and Ziggy that, man, when you guys do win one, when the Vikings do win one, it's just takes that relationship to another level.
Yeah. You know, you go into the locker room and you're with your teammates, you're on the plane with your teammates, but at some point in time you're alone. Was there a point, I mean, did you cry? Ever?
Did I cry about the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
I don't think I cried, but, you know, that feeling when my family ran onto the field and my wife, my mom, my dad, some friends, four of my kids, I could see them there during the game. They were sitting right next to Walter Payton's widow, Connie, and her kids, who I knew them, and so We won, celebrate. I ran over there to grab them. They don't tell you like, all right, guys, now if we win, this is how it's going to go. And you don't want to ask those questions. Right. You're not thinking about anything. And I ran over there to get them, and I couldn't find them. And I remember Connie Payton was pointing, they went over there. And I remember when I saw them run onto the field, that's when it also too, you know, really the gratitude that I felt towards them, all of them, for the support over the years. And, you know, that's just a great, that's a great family moment to share that, you know, not everybody gets, or that's not guaranteed. And so after that game on the field, the press conference, the plane ride, I was just trying to soak it all in because, yeah, I knew it was probably never going to happen again. I wasn't thinking about that. I was just really thinking about being in that moment. I think as a player and as people, we always think about, you know, the end result, and we're thinking about the past, we're thinking about the future. How little time we actually spend in the moment and just experiencing it, and that's what I was trying to do. I don't think I cried though. Yeah. I don't know. My wife probably like, yeah, you didn't. You know, I'm not necessarily a crier. Or at that point, I wasn't. A little bit more now.
It doesn't mean you lack the emotion that leads to crying.
It just means that you
You know, you give that emotion in a different way. That's all.
Yeah, I think what you say is like, when did it become real? Like, when did I realize? Yeah. It's tough to say. I mean, almost now, like I look back on it, I still haven't watched the tape for that game because I feel like once I do, then it's over. And I'm probably getting close to doing it, but yeah, I look back on it now. I mean, my whole career, it almost seems like it was like a different life. I don't know why, but I'm sitting in the car, or I'm, you know, my kid's soccer game or whatever, and it's like, it doesn't even feel like that was me.
Right.
I don't know. I just need someone smarter than me to try to put it all into words.
Well, there aren't many smarter than you who could put it into words.
But
quickly, before we go, what do you remember about your days as a Viking? What are some things that pop up right away that you remember about, you know, your playing days here?
You know, 98, not even knowing what was going on. I mean, coming from Harvard, thinking 6 months before I got drafted from the Vikings, I thought I'd, you know, be sitting in New York at some desk looking at numbers. And here I am, we're drafted by the Vikings and one of the most prolific offense ever. It was just one of those magical years. There's Hall of Famers all over the locker room. It's like, what? Yeah. You know, that was like, I didn't even deserve that.
Playing for your hometown
playing
team.
Playing for hometown. Yeah. It was just, yeah, it was stupid. for me, during the whole time, we had such great guys on the offensive line. Mm-hmm. I mean, we never had a group of what I call them turds. You know, guys are just in it for themselves or don't want to work or whatever. Great guys. People always ask me, who are your favorite teammates? And I said, well, they're people you know, they might not be household names. You might not have heard of them. If you're not a Vikings fan, you probably have them, like a Corey Withrow,
yeah.
Chris Lewinsky, Mike Rosenthal, Adam Goldberg. I mean, we had so much fun, and we worked so hard. And what I mean, after the Stussy, McDaniel, Christie, Stringer era, which was just, you know,
right.
Those guys were so good. Our room was not a bunch of talented guys, but we really willed ourselves into being a good unit. And because we cared about each other, we were accountable, and that was a special room. But I just tell people my favorite memory, nice, beautiful autumn day in Minnesota, and we have a noon kickoff, so we're done at 3:30, 3:45, go out into the – I used to park across the street, so I'd give my parents the parking pass in the lot, and I'd come out, and they would have a tailgate, and it was just kind of come one, come all, whatever. Yeah. And you could sit out there in the afternoon and – just, you know, have some food, have a beverage, and there might be, you know, 100 or 200 people. You kind of never knew who was going to show up.
Yeah.
But having the opportunity to play, I was in the right place at the right time. But what made it really special was to be able to share the experience with the people that loved me the most and helped me get there. And that's what's so great about playing for the Vikes.
Well, it's fun to do this, but I think we should probably let you go because you're so busy.
Well, I'm so busy, yes. Thank you for pointing that out. So busy. No, this was a pleasure, and feel very blessed to be able to wear this uniform for 11 years. So happy to talk about it anytime.
Yeah, good to have you here. All right, Matt, we'll catch up with you later.
Thanks, Mike.
There you have it. Matt Burke always has been one of my favorite Vikings that I've worked with in my time with the team, and I think after listening to him for roughly a half an hour, hopefully you can see why. And that's the sort of thing you're going to hear from Skol Stories the rest of this season. Name a big-time personality in Vikings history, and you will hear from him right here on Skol Stories every Tuesday night during the regular season at 6:30. Next week, stories of what it was like to be an intricate member of the group of people that helped build U.S. Bank Stadium. That's going to be next week. From the Vikings Entertainment Network, on behalf of producer Nate Vaughn, I'm Mike Wabshaw. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next week. Yeah.